Father, we praise you this morning. Lord, even though we can't see you, we know that you're real. Lord, even though we've never heard you audibly with our ears, Lord, we know that you still speak and that you speak through your word. Lord, you know that I don't have anything that will help anyone here, but you do. And Lord, we this morning, we need a word from heaven. We need to hear from our Father who's in heaven. And we thank you so much that you've given us the Bible that we can look at and hear you speak every time we open it. So we open it now and we just ask you, Lord, to show us more of who you are and that you would change us as we see you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? Well, you know it's Father's Day, and on Father's Day we honor fathers. We maybe write a card. We maybe are gonna, if our father is still alive and still in our life, we may call him up today and say thank you and have a conversation. It's right for us to do that. As a nation, as a culture, to honor fathers. We know that fathers have a lot of influence. Your father had a lot of influence and an impact in your life. Probably the name, in most cases, your last name is because of your father. There's probably parts of you that part of how you look was influenced by your father. Just maybe eye color, hair color, skin color, but not just the way you look, but also how you look at the world, in large part is influenced by our fathers, for good or for bad. The direction of our life, there's a huge aspect of that is influenced by our fathers. So it seems appropriate this morning for us not just, and today, for us not just to think about our earthly fathers, but to lift our gaze a little bit and to look and think about our Father in heaven. And to think about the ways that he has influenced our life. Because the truth is, if you're a Christian this morning, and if God is your Father, that has huge implications for your life. If God is your Father, there's some huge things that will influence in your life. Let's look at 1 John. We're going to take a break this morning just for one Sunday from Colossians. We're going to finish up Colossians next week. If you're just joining us this week, we've been walking through little by little through the book of Colossians, and that is a letter written to a group of Christians a long time ago. 1 John is another letter in the Bible. 1 John's another letter. It's written by a different man to a different group of Christians, but we read it this morning not just to listen what he said to them, but what God is saying to us. So 1 John chapter 3. There's just three verses we're going to look at. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let me read it. It's going to be on the wall. It's on the back of your program, too. Let me read it, and you follow along. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, loved ones, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as the Father, is pure. If God is your Father, there's some things in this passage that we know are true of us. If God is your Father, there's three or four things in this passage that we just want to soak, let our hearts soak on. And the first thing is this: if God is your Father, you need to know that you are loved. If God is your Father, you are loved. Now we know that on this earth, just because someone is a father doesn't necessarily mean that they love their children. Those two things are not always synonymous, unfortunately. All of us in this room had a father. We all did, or we wouldn't be here. But not every father loves their children in the way that they act and the way that they treat them and how they speak to them. Not every father loves, and certainly no father perfectly loves their children. But in this passage, what it says is that if you are a child of God, if God is your father, then that means that he loves you. Without exception, if you are his child, he loves you. And I want you to see that in verse 1. Look at the beginning of verse 1. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us." What kind of love has he given to us? Well, it tells us in the second half of that phrase that we should be called children of God. What that's saying is that the kind of love that God has given to you, if you are a Christian, is the kind of love that makes you his child. If you are his child, he loves you. Now, we need to understand that what the Bible says is not is God is not everyone's father. Now, stay with me just for a little bit. God is not everyone's father. The Bible says that God is everyone's creator, but he is not everyone's father. If we're alive today, we are God's creation, but we are not all on this earth God's children. I want to show you a verse in John chapter 1. It's the same author, really, that wrote 1 John. And John, it's a little earlier in the Bible. It doesn't have a one in front of it. And it's a biography of Jesus. It's not a letter. And John says in his first chapter, he says this, it's on the wall here, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name," this is speaking of Jesus, "to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." How we become a child of God is, it says right here in this verse, we receive him, we believe in him, we trust in what he has done for us by dying for us on the cross. And when we do that, he gives us the right to become children of God. So if we look at this verse, what that means is that if you do not receive him, if you do not believe in Jesus, you have not been given the right to become a child of God. Now, God loves the world. In fact, John 3:16, probably the most famous verse, says that, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God is good to all. He has mercy on all that he has made, the Bible says. But he chooses and he saves those who trust in him, and he makes them his children. And the way he's done that, we know in the Bible it says that God has shown his love this way, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if we put our trust in that, he makes us his children. Now, all of that is really important for us to know what kind of love God has given to us as his children. Because here's what happens. Sometimes, in the circumstances in our life, in seasons in our life, we may look at those and we may say, "I don't know if my Father loves me, if my Heavenly Father loves me. If God loved me, then how could he let these things happen?" Sometimes we may look inside, and the way that we feel sometimes is, "I don't know if God loves me. I don't feel like he loves me." But see, what we need to do is go back to this verse and so many other verses and convince our hearts, talk to our hearts and say, wait. No, if he is my father, if I am a Christian, if he has forgiven me, he loves me. He loves me. The proof of his love is the cross, that he would give his son. And so that's how we can brave the winds and the storms and the dark times and the thick weeds, is to say, "No, I don't judge whether God loves me based on my circumstances or even by my feelings, but I judge whether he loves me by the fact that he gave his son for me. And if he would do that, how will he not also freely help me with everything else?" See what kind of love the Father has given to you, that you should be called children of God. If you are a Christian, if you are his child, that's because he loves you. He does not make people his children that he does not love. He shows us his love through Christ. And we need to convince our hearts of that. See, here's the truth. If God is your Father, you are loved. You are loved. You are a child of God. The second thing here in these verses, if God is your Father, you have struggles. If God is your Father, you have struggles. You say, wait a second. If God is my Father and if God loves me, then why would he let me struggle? Maybe you've recently come to Christ. And maybe you had a picture in your mind that when you came to Christ, your struggles would go away. No more struggles. Christians don't struggle. Maybe that's what you thought. The problem is, the Bible tells us something completely different. And in fact, listen, you know, if you become a Christian, there are some new struggles that you're going to have that you didn't have before you were Christian. If God is your Father, there's going to be some unique struggles in your life that you didn't have before he was your Father. And this passage shows us that. Look at the second half of verse 1. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. See, here's one of the first struggles that this passage tells us we're going to have as a Christian. We're going to struggle with the world. That's number A there, or letter A. You're going to struggle with the world if God is your Father. Now, the world in this verse, if you see that word in the second half of verse 1, the word world here doesn't mean globe. It doesn't mean earth. It means the people on the earth. That's what the world is talking about, the world of people. And now there's a particular group of people that it's talking about. It's the people on the globe that don't know God. That don't know God. They may think they do. They may not believe in God at all, but they have not believed in Christ. They don't know God. And what happens as a child of God is there are some new struggles that we may have with people that don't know God. The people back in this time, this was just a few decades after Jesus left the earth. And now they have this incredible message of Jesus and how the Father loves enough to send his Son to die so we can be forgiven and have peace with God. And maybe they began to think, you know what, this message is incredible. Everyone will embrace this. And they began to love, and they began to serve, and they began to share the truth. And what happens to them may be happening in your life where you get pushback from people. Maybe some people in your family, maybe some people at work, maybe from our culture. See, we may think, man, who would not accept this message that the Father will receive us just through faith and he loves us and he sent his Son? But instead of embracing it, people push back on us. And we may begin to think, man, there's something wrong. Father, you're my Father. People should listen to this. Why am I doing something wrong, Lord? And what God says in this verse, he says, no. It's not you, it's me. The reason that they're pushing back on you is because they don't know me. See, Jesus was on the earth, and he loved, and he served, and he always spoke the truth. But he got pushback. And they belittled him and rejected him and eventually killed him because they didn't know him and they didn't receive him. And he says to us, if you're his child, the same thing may and probably will in some ways happen to you. You're going to struggle with the world. And listen, we have to be careful with this because you know what? Every one of us, see, none of us were born knowing God. None of us were born right with God. None of us were born with peace with God. At some point in our life, we were in the same boat. We didn't know God. And we didn't know or understand the people that knew God, that had received Christ. We were in the same boat. The reason people who don't know God do what they do is because they don't know God. And so we need to, with patience and with kindness, keep pointing to Christ, even when there's pushback. And even when we struggle with those in the world who don't know God. There's another struggle we have, though, in these verses that comes particularly because we are a child of God, and it's that we struggle with sin. We struggle with sin. See, sometimes we can think as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, maybe just like we had a picture that everything would go well, we may and we wouldn't have any more struggles. Maybe we thought, well, once I become a Christian, I'll be perfect. I mean, sometimes people in the world have that picture of Christians. And sometimes we can have that image that I shouldn't be struggling with sin anymore. I shouldn't mess up. I shouldn't sin. I shouldn't do wrong. I shouldn't stumble anymore. And sometimes we can even begin to think, man, I don't know if I'm a Christian. Because if I was a Christian, I wouldn't be sinning anymore. I wouldn't struggle with this anymore. But see, what this verse, what this passage tells us is, well, if God is your Father, you're going to struggle with sin. You're going to. Look at verse 2. Beloved, loved ones, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. We're going to stop there. Did you hear that now, but not yet? See, now you're God's child. If you have trusted in Christ, received him, and God is your Father, now you're his child. But you're not yet what you're going to be. And there's a tension there. You know, when you were a kid, maybe you found, maybe you rummaged through your parents' closet when they had stepped out to go to the grocery store, you know, maybe in early December, and you found your Christmas present. You were looking for it, you found it. Now you knew what you were going to get for Christmas. And you couldn't wait to play with that, but it wasn't Christmas yet. And you certainly couldn't tell your parents you found it and play with it now, because there would be some ramifications, right? But you were caught in the middle of, you knew now what you were going to get, but you could not yet have it. There's something in the Christian life, there's this tension in the Christian life that's similar to that. See, God, he gives us new birth. We read about that in John. And he's put new desires in our heart. Now we are his children. And we can taste what we should be. And yet, we're not yet what we should be. And there's this struggle with sin. Now, certainly that should drive us and motivate us to fight and wrestle with sin, but we have to be careful not to think that that struggle means we're not a Christian, that struggle means he's not our Father, because you know what? There were probably many things in your life that you did before you were a Christian where you didn't struggle with it. You just did it. And you didn't feel guilty. And it wasn't on your radar that you shouldn't do that. You didn't struggle with sin. You just sinned. But now, as a child of God, there's these new desires. And sometimes we do struggle. We do struggle when we sin. And we don't want to sin. And we try to fight sin. But in part, that's a picture of this already, but not yet. Now you are his children if you've trusted in Christ. But you're not yet there. Here's the third truth about you if God is your Father. If God is your Father, you will be changed. You will be changed. Now, this is similar to this struggle with sin. But maybe your struggle isn't thinking, man, I'm not a Christian if I still sin, if I still mess up. You don't struggle with that, and you have a confidence that God is your Father, but it eats you up when you do sin. And you think to yourself, man, am I ever going to change? Am I ever going to get there? Is this ever going to be done? And sometimes we can get discouraged in that and think, I'll never get it. I'm never going to get this. I'm going to show you a picture of how many, raise your hands if you watched Sesame Street in the 70s, 80s, or 90s. All right, good. I was nervous that, like, not many of you did. So do you know who this guy is? He's sitting at a piano. There's a bust of Ludwig van Beethoven there. Dawn Music. I don't know if you remember Dawn Music. He was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, he had little, uh, little sketches in Sesame Street. I remember him as a kid, watching him as a kid. And Don Music, he's always writing these songs, right? He's the artist with angst, and he's writing these songs. He can never quite get them right. Now, he's writing songs that we all know, so he's kind of rewriting the words. He's trying to make them rhyme, but he's frustrated because he can't finish them. And so we're going to try to show a clip, maybe jog your memory of one of those episodes.
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, Mary went, Mary went, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to. Oh, I'll never get it. Oh, I'm sorry, Ludwig. Oh.
Excuse me. He's so close, right? One word, he's so close. He says, I'll never get it. And then he looks at his statue and says, I'm sorry, Ludwig. You know, Beethoven. I'm sorry, Beethoven. Slams his head. I mean, that was pretty much every episode he was in, trying to finish the song. Slamming his head on the keyboard. I'll never get it. Do you feel like that sometimes? You feel like that sometimes? I do. I'm never going to get it. And then maybe you don't slam your head on something, but you beat yourself up. I'm never going to get it. I'm sorry, God. And we beat ourselves up. Look at the second half of verse 2. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. But we know, if you're a child of God, somewhere deep inside you know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Now, the first thing to notice here, this is future. See that word will, shall? It feels like we're never going to get it. But this verse tells us, and a lot of other verses, that one day we will. And we'll be like him when he appears. And the struggle's going to be over. And we'll be just like him. Now, we won't be as powerful as Jesus or our Father. We won't be in control of everything like we try to be now. Only he is those things. But we will be just as loving. We will be just as patient. We will have the wisdom that so many times we lack now. We will be like him. Did you see those words? We will be like him when he appears. Because we will see him as he is. Now, we don't have a lot of information about how exactly this happens. But what it's saying here is that when we see him face to face, the Bible says that right now we see through a glass dimly. It's like a foggy old window. And we're reading the Bible, and we're singing these songs, and we're encouraging each other, and we pray to God that we can't see, and it's fuzzy. But then, listen, there's going to be a day where we see him face to face, like with our eyes. And that's going, just seeing him is going to change us completely forever. And we'll get it because we've seen him and because he's changed us completely. And the not yet will be the now, then. When I was in college, I was a senior in college, and I was going to college in Southern California. And it was finals week, and there was three friends, and I decided we were going to go to the Grand Canyon, because we had never seen the Grand Canyon, or at least I hadn't. I'm not sure. I can't remember if they had. So we loaded up the car with Dr. Pepper and cheese puffs and some other things I don't remember, and we drove to Arizona. It was a long trip, I think 6 or 7 hours. I can't remember. And see, I had heard about the Grand Canyon. Friends had told me about it. I'd seen a lot of pictures. I knew it was amazing, but I had never seen it. So we get close, and we go through the toll, because it's a national park, so you have to pay to get in. And it says Grand Canyon National Park, but I'm looking around thinking, I don't see any canyon anywhere. let alone a Grand Canyon. But we follow the signs, and we find the parking lot that says park here, and there's a sign that says Grand Canyon this, you know, on this walkway, and I think it's at 200 or 300 feet. And I'm still like, if this thing is so big, I should be able to see it. You know, if I'm only 300 feet away from it, you'd think I'd be able to see it. But there was trees there, and so we got out, and we walked the path, and we walked through the trees, and you go from not seeing the Grand Canyon at all to that's all you can see in an instant, like a 180-degree view of the Grand Canyon. And, like, it stopped me in my tracks. I just stopped. And it may sound like an exaggeration, but it's really not. Like, it took the wind out of me. Like, I had to catch my breath because it was so amazing. And my friends and I, we spent the rest of that evening sitting on the edge of the canyon and watching the sun go down and the shadows rise in the canyon, not saying much because of the amazingness of this canyon. You know, I had seen pictures, I had heard stories, but nothing prepared me for seeing it with my own eyes. And in some tiny, tiny, tiny way, that's the way it's going to be when we see our Father face to face. That's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes back, when he appears. It's not just going to take the wind out of us, it's going to change us completely. And all those little inklings we have in our heart of what we yearn to be, we will be. And it won't be because we fixed ourselves, but it'll be because we see him face to face. And it will change us forever. If God is your Father, you will be changed. That's our hope. Here's the fourth thing. If God is your Father, you are changing. Look at verse 3. If God is your Father, you are changing. Verse 3 says, everyone who has who thus hopes, means everyone who has this hope that was talked about in verse 2, everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure, as the Father is pure, as Jesus is pure. Everyone who has this hope in him of seeing the Father face to face and being changed, everyone who has this hope in him that they are a child of God is purifying himself even as Jesus is pure. The idea here is purifying himself. The idea is that you are changing now. You are in the process of purifying yourself. Now you're not going to be sinless yet until you see him. We've talked about that, but you will sin less. You will be changed when you see him, but if you're his child, you are changing now. That's what this verse says, that everyone who has this hope in him is purifying himself as the Father is pure, as Jesus is pure. Notice here, though, in verse 3, if you look at it, that's not a command. Now, there's commands other places. Certainly, we're commanded to obey the Father, his Son, Jesus. But here in this verse, it's not a command. It's just a statement of fact. Do you see that? Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. That's just the way it is. Everyone who is a child of God is purifying himself. He is changing. What that means is that if we are not changing at all, if we have no desire to change, if we have no desire to run away from sin and to run towards Jesus, if the desire is not there and we see no change in our life, now I'm not talking about perfection, but if there's not improvement and change in our life, then that may mean that that God is not our Father. Because what this verse says is that everyone, do you see that word? Everyone who has this hope is purifying himself. Now, if that is where you find yourself as you look at your life, or listen, if that's where, as you talk with friends or family, if they are in a place, or if you this morning are in a place where you say, well, I know that at one point there was a crisis in my life, or I heard a message, or I heard a song, or something happened in my life where I thought I became a Christian, and yet as I look at my life, there's been no change. There's been no change. If that's where you find yourself, listen, that's, and I don't mean to belittle this too much, but that can be one of the easiest things in the world to fix. Now, you can't fix it, but God can fix it. And how he fixes it is, we go back to John 1, that whoever receives him, who believes in his name, he gives them the right to become children of God, who are born of God. And we may need to circle back around and say, Father, or Lord, God, I thought you were my father, but the Bible's telling me that if you are, that every child of his is changing, and I haven't been changing, Lord, at all, period, my whole life. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me and change me? And he gives the right to become children of God. And then the Bible says, listen to this, it says that he is at work in his children, both to give them the desire to change and then also to help them work to change. Listen, it's a hard road to try to change without Jesus. In fact, it's an impossible road. But if we have Christ, if we are his children, the Bible tells us that we will be changing, even as we're not yet what we should be, as we wait for the day when we will be changed totally. So, if God is your father, you're loved, you'll have struggles, you will be changed, but you're changing now. That's a reality, you are changing now. The first verse here, actually the first word of this passage, is the only command in this passage. There's a lot of truths that are shared, but the first word is the only command. And the command is to look. The ESV says see. Look what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Look at that. That word means gaze at. It means stare at. It means be like a deer in the headlights, that you can't look away. Keep looking at your Father. His love for you, the promise that we have of seeing him face to face and being changed. And that promise, that hope, that changes us as we wait for that day. Let's pray. Father, on Father's Day, we honor you. And we thank you for being a father that would adopt us, that would look out over the world and wouldn't choose the wise and strong ones as a whole, but Lord, because really, in truth, there's not wise or strong or perfect, Lord, but you choose the broken and the poor, and as one of the songs we sang, that you would make a wretch your treasure. Lord, Father, we thank you that you didn't adopt, you know, little babies that were innocent, but you adopted grown sinners who had well-developed sinful habits, and you gave your son so that we could be in your family. Lord, may we remember your love. May that love give us strength to get through the thick weeds of struggles with our own sin and with the things we face in the world. May we hold out to that hope that we're going to see you, that we are going to get it one day, and we're going to be like you. And Lord, may that hope drive us to become more like you now. Father, we praise you. Thank you for being a good father. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.